Hello there. Shalom. Welcome to Amazing Grace, Extraordinary Truth. I'm your host, Lydia, and our topic today is mind games. Mind games. Mind games are deliberate psychological attacks on the mind of another person to deceive, to manipulate, and to control the person and or outcomes surrounding the person. It's a power play to hone in on vulnerabilities or weaknesses and capture their soul to turn them and empty them of their worth, making them dependent on the gamer in some cases. For the length of this broadcast, I will refer to the perpetrator of the mind games as the gamer. The gamer will use any means necessary to seize control without consideration of the victim or the consequences to themselves. Please keep in mind this is a working definition, and this mindset could be noted among several personas, but the games people play is what I'm bringing to your attention today. Let's pray. Father Yah, in the name of Yeshua, we come before you as humbly as we know how. Father, lifting this broadcast before you and all of the listeners that shall come in to listen to the words that I'm speaking. Father, I'm asking that you move even now in their hearts and in their minds. And as they listen and remember things that may have happened even in their lives, oh God, I'm asking that you recover them out of that place even right now in the name of Yeshua. I'm asking, Father, that you give them a reset, oh God, a realignment of your spirit, that you bring them back to a place, oh God, where you can deliver them and enlighten them with your spirit. Give them hope in places that are hopeless, and even uproot those things that have been there for a long time, those things that were from years ago. Father, even begin to uproot those things in them now. Oh God, those things that may have triggered them and they didn't understand the triggers, Father, we're bringing them up even right now that they might come up and out. We're coming against every spirit of the enemy even now. And Father, we break off every retaliation and every counterattack, every backlash and every payback spirit even right now in the name of Yeshua, that your spirit might move freely in us and among us, that you might enlighten us and give us wisdom and knowledge. Oh God, that you might give us a revelation of the ages, even how we ought to walk among men, oh God, that are not yet delivered, even recognizing that we still have some deliverances that we need ourselves. So we understand that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, oh God, but it is your spirit that shows us these things and shows us you show us the truth, and you also show us the way of escape. Oh God, we give you glory. For the love that you have for us is everlasting, and it is without conditions or borders or boundaries. And that's the love that has brought your great salvation among us. That's the love that caused you to sacrifice your life for each and every one of us. That's the love that even brings deliverance on today. And so, Father, I plead the blood upon each and every one that listens, that they receive your deliverance, that they receive your light, that they receive the light of life even today, and that they're released, oh God, from everything that held them in bondage. In the mighty name of Yeshua, I pray. Amen. God bless you. God bless you even as we go forth in this broadcast. Once again, welcome. This is Amazing Grace, Extraordinary Truth. And I am your host, Lydia. And our topic today is mind games. Mind games are always deliberate. They're always dark. And they're always attacks on the mind to manipulate, to deceive, and to control. These are the ones who throw rocks and hide their hands and proceed as if they're your very best friend. They smile and flatter you in your face while sabotaging you in secret. And I want to even bring back to your attention even that I pray. We do not wrestle with flesh and blood. But we are speaking of the influence of evil that is driving them, because all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have been driven by sin at one time or another. And maybe many of us have been those mind gamers. Maybe we have played games with the minds of people. But it's important that we recognize that it is the adversary that is driving this. And that same spirit that is driving the one that is playing the game and causing many to be victimized, that's the same spirit, amen, that came upon Adam and Eve even from the very beginning. And we'll go back to that shortly. But it's important to recognize so that we're not having a spirit of unforgiveness, but recognizing that there is a spirit that is driving this situation, that there's a spirit that is driving these games, and it is a spirit of the enemy. It is dark and it is ancient, and it wants to captivate the minds of every person if we allow it. The spirit of the Lord, and even in his word, he tells us the things that we ought to think on. But when our mind is captivated by the enemy, however he does it, whatever strategy or tactic that he uses to captivate the minds, it rewires the brain and causes us to go down an alternate path. Scripture tells us to guard our hearts with all diligence, because out of it comes the issues of life. So if we find ourselves in a place where our mind was not guarded, perhaps we were too young and we trusted those that had influence over us, or even if we're older and we trust the ones, perhaps it's a leader or it's a family member or whoever it may be. Usually it's somebody that we trust. Amen. That ends up being perpetrating those mind games. So it's so important that we remember that there is a spirit that's driving this. I mean, people don't just wake up in the morning and decide I'm going to overtake somebody. They don't wake up in the morning. They have been driven themselves. So they end up driving others. I know there's a saying that says hurt people hurt people. And that's true if you stay on that path, but that's not true for everyone. So the fact that it's a blanket statement is just not true, because some hurt people actually bury that hurt and end up hurting themselves sometimes. But some hurt people use that hurt as a stepping stone to help others. And that's why we see so many agencies out in the earth even now that are helpers. Mothers Against Drunk Driving, they were hurt. So they used that hurt as momentum to help others that are going through the same situation. Okay, just a side note. But anyway, let's get back to mind games. Okay, these are the ones that smile and flatter you in your face and while sabotaging you in secret. These are those who pretend to be helpful confidants while they steal your innovative ideas and creative solutions and plant slanderous lies in the ears of others so that they have doubts about your character. These are those who slide insults into conversations and say, you know, I'm just playing. I love you. You zig, they zag, as they keep their end game carefully hidden like a covert military operation as they continue to demoralize and disarm their target. This is a diabolical attempt to strip you of your identity and your will. Many times also to diminish your influence and elevate and promote their own influence and agenda. And this is always this when we're talking about in the frame of a mind game or a gamer, this is always going to be evil. It's always going to be prompted, remember, by the adversary himself, because the adversary has an ultimate agenda in using the gamer. And the gamer doesn't recognize it as such at the time. And maybe some of them do, but I don't believe many of them realize. They're usually pushed by some anger or some unresolved issues of their own, some deliverance that they need themselves, some pain that they're harboring themselves. So they push other people and they get they seem to get some pleasure by causing other people pain because of the pain they feel themselves. And yes, I want you to see the whole thing. It's so important that we see not only the victim, but the victimizer as human. We have to humanize these people because it's the enemy that is doing these things. And it's not that the victimizer should not be punished in their acts, whatever they may have done, because we all have to reap what we sow. And that's the other thing about this, is all of us do reap what we sow. And because the gamer is in such a state in their own mind, they don't recognize the consequences at the time of what they're doing. They have this agenda and they're being prompted by the enemy. And it actually is a state of having blinders on, like they put on a horse so that the horse has to go forward and can't see on either side of them. And those blinders keep them from seeing the consequences that lie in wait for them. So they continue to push and to prod this other person until they have molded them into their will and they've broken them down and they've lost even their identity. But they don't understand that in so doing, they're also losing their own. So remember what I said. Many times they are those that diminish your influence in order to elevate or promote their own influence and agenda. They're the ones that say, look at me and not her or him. I have what you need. They just want to deceive you. They just want to hold you back. They're just holding you down. They just don't want you to be the person you were meant to be. You should be able to do whatever you want to be. You're your own person. Some of them are pushing in that way. Others are actually pushing people down and tearing their esteem apart. You're too ugly. You're too fat. You're not enough. Nobody wants you. Nobody wants you but me. Why would you think you could go out looking like that? Nobody wants you with me. I can't take you anywhere. I mean, just all kinds of things that the kind of games that people play, even on platforms and agendas. It could be a person that actually has a platform and has a lot of influence, and someone comes along. I have a million followers. I can do better than this. I can show you how to do this right. And they basically push them out of their platform because that person wasn't holding tightly enough to the spirit of the Lord. And they allowed that person to berate them so much that they begin to believe. And that's the thing about gamers. They will push so much and so hard that the person that's being victimized begins to believe the words that they say, even though those words are not true. They may take a portion of truth like the enemy does and seduce the person into believing the entire lie that they're speaking so that they can capture them and be able to use them to do whatever they want them to do. Amen. They behave as if they have the keys to your success in their hands and only their hands. And nobody else can get you to the place that you're supposed to be. Nobody else can help you. Nobody else will love you. Nobody else can do it like they can for you. Nobody else can do the things they can do for you. So you have to be dependent on them. You have to follow their lead. You have to do what they say because nobody else is going to love you or take care of you or push you in the way that they'll push you. It could be even be a coach, say I'm going to use a skater, for instance, because I saw this television program where it was actually a movie where there was a skater who was very, very talented. And she had a coach that was absolutely, he was notorious for being abusive. And parents would just sit there and kind of allow him because he made it sound to all of them as if this is what it takes to be great. And then the skater, I think that she came in at another time. At a time she wasn't supposed to be at the skating rink, and she sat and observed another coach who was very kind and gently prompted the skater. And when the skater fell, she helped and made sure that she was not wounded. She did push, but she did not push to the point that the skater would have been injured. And she saw the kindness, and basically that is what it was. It was kindness. It was one that was actually leading. So this particular coach would even show the skater how it should be done, show them the form that they ought to take in each movement in order to be graceful as they were performing to the music. So when the other coach came in, the coach looked at her, looked at the skater, looked at the other coach, and both the coaches had set eyes on one another, and apparently they knew each other because, you know, I guess they're all a part of the same system, and they they perform, you know, in the same kind of ring. So they looked at one another, and the one that was really kind just kind of smiled and continued with her teaching. And the other coach snatched up the skater that was observing and told her not to come basically at that time again. She should only be there at the time that he tells her. She has to do it the way he says. She had to be there at the hours that he said. All of that, these were mind games. This is manipulation and control at its finest. It's the games that people play to take control of a person as if they are the only one that could ever do anything for you. And people do this even in abusive situations. Now, we're not talking about physical abuse, but this is most certainly psychological abuse and verbal abuse in many cases, because the person becomes so dependent on them that they can't really see a way of escape, even though they are absolutely traumatized and absolutely suffering. And again, this person makes it seem as if that they have the keys to your success, and they are the only one that has the keys. There are no keys in anybody else's hands, and you don't own any keys. Nobody else has them, even though that is absolutely not true. And then you add one, coaches are a dime a dozen. And I'm going to say it with the example that I just used. There are good coaches all over the nations. So you can get rid of an abusive coach and find a good coach who will actually usher you into the place where you are to be, who will empower you rather than try to overtake you. And that's what mind gamers do. They actually are trying to overtake and to captivate you. They are trying to embondage you and keep you there so that you are under their control and at their beck and call. Gamers make themselves to appear even to others as though they have all the answers, and they're being victimized or misunderstood when somebody calls them out on the lies and on the pathology. So they'll make it seem as if they're the victim at that point, even though they've been victimizing all this time. They'll make themselves seem as if they're the victim, like nobody understands them. They're only trying to help. They're only doing the best for that person, that this is what it takes in order to get that person to where they're supposed to be. So what happens to the one that's being victimized and they're seeing all this is truth ends up taking on a different form, because they don't see truth as truth anymore. They see the lies that have been spoken by that person as truth. It's like what's happening in the earth right now. People have changed. The culture has changed. And the further away that we get away from the plumb line, the standard of Yahuwah, the more tragic we become, the more wicked we become, the further and further away that we get from the plumb line. That's what we're seeing. And that's what mind gamers, that's the issue with the mind gamer, because they're so far away from the standard of holiness, so far away from righteousness that they become a tragedy, that they've become savage, that they've become uncivilized, and they don't see themselves as such. But when we fell away, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but that's what happens. So let's get back. So we're talking about mind games, and mind games, many times the gamer proceeds, even like many have, when we read about prisoners of war. We read about war and how heinous it is and how horrifying and the post traumatic stress that many of the soldiers go through, especially those that have been captured and have become prisoners of war. Well, the mind of the victim is much like one that has been captured as a prisoner of war, because that is what has happened. This person has been captured by the gamer, and they go through many of the things. So some of those things they might go through is things like starvation. And I know at the things that I've read about prisoners of war, they many times they starve them of food and water in order to get them to do things, to sign documents, and even to strip them of their identity. And these are the kind of things that happens in mind games. And I'm not talking about starving of actual food, but they starve them of affection and attention, because this could be somebody that's really close to them. That relationship maybe has started out great at first. You know, people always show their best in the beginning. They may have been very charismatic, and then as time goes on, the gamer cannot continue in that fake persona. Who they are will eventually show. What, you know, darkness will show itself, because it's not light. So it cannot maintain a persona of light for very long. And that's what happens with gamers. So they end up showing themselves. So that person that was once affectionate, now they're starving this person of affection. They're starving them of their attention. They're staying out all the time. They're taking trips throughout the week. And they may not be cheating at all, but sometimes it's just part of the game. They just stay away to teach that person a lesson, to teach that person how much they need them. Another thing that happens to prisoners of war, that also happens to victims of mind games, is forced labor. They may force them to do things that they don't even want to do in order to stay close to that person. They may tell them that, "I'm not going to love you unless you do. If you love me, you'll do this." And teenagers hear that kind of thing. It's an adolescent kind of game. If you love me, you'll do this. And that's one of the games they play. It's part of the game. And, you know, it's a tragic kind of game. It's an unfortunate kind of game, but it is part of the games that people play. And there is a solution. And I promise you, I'm going to get to that. Amen. I don't want to make this sound as if that's all I'm talking about is the bad stuff, because there is deliverance at the end of this story. And we give glory and honor to Yahuwah, because he is the light, and light does come, and the light does overtake the darkness. So there is a solution. There is an end game, even for the gamer. There is an end game, even to the mind games. And the Father has given us, and our deliverer has given us solutions. And he has given us weapons of warfare to come against the attacks of the enemy, so that we don't have to remain in the position of victim. Amen. We are not victims, not us that know the Lord, even though we may go through some things as part of the process. We are not victims, even though someone may have taken advantage of us, even the way that they have. With even the way that I'm speaking of with this gamer, even though someone may have taken advantage of us like this and broke our hearts like this and even broke us down and made us feel like we could not go on, there is a solution. There's a reset and there is a step up, and his name is Yeshua, and he will bring us up and out of that place. And we're talking about the mind. So you don't have to leave your physical location in order to receive his deliverance, in order, amen, to be captivated by the Spirit of the Lord, even greater so than the enemy had captivated the mind. The Spirit of the Lord can come upon us, amen, and take us to a place that the enemy could not possibly, because he can't go there, and the place that Yeshua will take us. Glory to him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There is deliverance in the end. Amen. We're still talking about mind games and prisoners of war. You know, I get excited when I think about what how the Father delivers us out of these things that we find ourselves in. And sometimes it's because we made a choice ourselves. Other times it's because the choice was made for us. But sometimes the Father has given us instructions, and He may have told us, not that one, don't go that way, not with that group of people. And we may have thought, well, it'll be all right. I'm just for a little bit. And then we found ourselves captured in the midst of that place. We found ourselves in a place where we didn't want to be with people we shouldn't have ever been with. It was not His perfect will that we ever even meet those people, even in that time. And yet here we are, and we're in the midst of those that are playing games. The truth is not something that they even know anything about. Everything is twisted, and they continue to twist everything, and the truth becomes unrecognizable. Sometimes we find ourselves in that place among people that don't have our best in mind, among people that don't really know us or even want to know us. They don't even like us. They just want to use us for the things that we have, and they want to use us, amen, for forced labor, and they want to use us to because of our influence or because of who we know. Sometimes we find ourselves in that place. Sometimes it's because we were looking for love in all the wrong places and ended up with someone that played games with our heart and with our mind. Sometimes we do that to ourselves because of the decisions that we've made. But there's another decision that you can make. Amen. There's another decision. Just like you made the decision to go left, there's a decision you can make to go right, so that you can recover from even the damage that was caused when you made that other decision that you shouldn't have made. Sometimes we're being rebellious, and we end up in the midst of people who play mind games. And sometimes the enemy will play mind games with us without another person present because of our disobedience. And the Father will allow it in order to process us right out of our disobedience into a willingness to follow after His will, letting us know that His way is best. He is our creator. He understands us better than anyone could ever understand us. He is the one, amen, who designed our minds and our hearts. We were created to make His name glorious, not our own, not the enemy's. We were created to be in right fellowship with Him, where we were created to have a reciprocal relationship with the creator of the earth, the creator of all things. Amen. And He said, boundaries all around us. And wisdom is crying in the streets. There's boundaries all around us. I mean, we look at scripture in the book of Deuteronomy, and he gave them, amen, a book. I mean, a book where chapters are written of blessing and curses. He tells them what the boundaries are. And those boundaries were not to keep you from being famous. The boundaries were not to keep you from being your best self. The boundaries were not to keep you from doing anything that was good, because every good and perfect gift comes from Him. Those boundaries were set to keep you safe from the adversary, because there is an adversary who is trying to influence you to do evil. There's an adversary who's trying to influence us to get further and further away from the Father, from Yeshua. There's an adversary that's pulling us in the other direction. So there's always going to be a tug of war going on in the spirit, where the adversary is trying to pull us one way and the Spirit of the Lord is trying to pull us the other way. And we have a choice. And sometimes we choose badly. And that's where these mind games come in. But all the time there is an answer. And the answer is Yeshua. Glory to His name. Amen. We're still talking about mind games. And don't mind me as I go to my little side notes. Glory to God, because as the Lord is speaking to you, He's also speaking to me, and I honor Him. I honor Him with all of my heart and with all of my mind, even as we're going forth in this broadcast. God bless you all. I hope you're enjoying so far. Let's keep talking here. Mind games. I mean, we're talking about prisoners of war. Another thing that mind gamers do is things like blackmail. They'll convince the person that there's something so horrific about them that they don't want other people to know. So they'll blackmail them to get certain things and to obtain certain things from them so that and the person will do it because they don't want anybody to know, because that gamer has convinced them that they are something that they really aren't in the first place. They've convinced them that something has happened that is so horrible that if other people knew, it would ruin them. And it may be something that happened, but the people that love you, they're not going to bash you like that. They're going to love you right through it and right out of it. And they'll probably, and more than likely, come against the one who tried to convince you that they wouldn't. But that is exactly what happens. It's part of that mind game. It's a taunting and a twisting and a casting of doubt. It's a seduction. And unfortunately, when you entertain those thoughts, you're captivated by them. And there comes a point where it seems as though there's a point of no return, and you end up being captivated by those very thoughts that the mind gamer, the gamer, has implanted. And these are implanted thoughts, because they'll continue to say the same thing over and over until you begin to believe those things and you begin to repeat those things. So those thoughts become words, and those words become actions. You actually start to believe what the gamer has said, and it's a lie from a pit. Shenanigans that twist the mind so that truth is not discernible. And I'm not talking about the truth of God, but your truth, that what you believed about yourself is not discernible. So let me talk a little bit about truth. And I'm talking about the truth of Yahuwah. The truth does not change. It is both unshakable and unstoppable. It is the voice of wisdom crying in the streets, warning, correcting, and admonishing. It does not conform to the latest fad, nor is it intimidated by the whispers of twisted words or loud outrage of those who call it antiquated, discriminatory, or old-fashioned. The truth is the truth. The truth is the spirit of truth that brings forth the light of life. It untwists the pathological lies and recovers the sight of the blind. The truth is the enemy of the gamer, who holds tightly to the adversary to pull its victim out of the grip of the truth. But the truth is always victorious and always rescues. Always rescues those who want him. And to the gamer, as well as the one who has been played, Job 28 and 24, it says that Yahuwah observes the ends of the earth and sees everything under heaven. Nothing escapes his sight. There is no hiding place he can't see, and no place of rest he won't find. Additionally, Hebrews 4 and 13 reveals that there is nothing in all creation that is hidden from his sight. All is naked and exposed before the Creator of all of us. Everything he sees. He sees the underbelly of the earth. He sees the activity of the kingdom of darkness. He sees what you're doing in your home. He sees your thoughts and intents. He knows everything. So though one may hide their indiscretions and deceit from you, it is already exposed in the eyes of Yah. And it is just a matter of time before he causes light to reveal the dark spaces. It is so important to note we are loved so much by Yahuwah. We are loved so much by him that has given us several words of warnings about such things as this. We see words like, be not deceived. Take heed to yourselves. Guard your heart. Watch and pray. Walk circumspectly. All admonishing us to be watchful of our environment and those we entertain. And when we find ourselves among those who deceive, to be aware. Listen carefully. Pray for instruction and obey the word of wisdom. All the instruction that we see in scripture is to keep us within the boundaries of safety that he has created for us, to keep us out of the hands of the enemy so that we cannot be captivated by him. But he also gives us information and instruction, wisdom and knowledge that when we are captivated, how we might escape. And it means that we must return to him. There's a Hebrew word called teshuva. I love that word. And it simply means to return. And it's all every time we see it written, and this is in the Hebrew, every time we see it written, it is referring to returning back to the Father, returning back to the standards of holiness, returning back to righteousness, returning back to his wisdom and his knowledge, returning back to the Father that loves us with an everlasting love. It always refers to returning back to him and to his standard. And those that are being victimized by the gamer, all they have to do is just call on him, return to him. Because somewhere we made a wrong turn. And like I said, I've done it myself. And I have absolutely been victimized before. Just like this. Pushed in such a lowly place that I thought there was no recovery from me. But Yeshua is a rescuer. He is a recoverer. He is a recoverer. He recovers us from the darkness. He sheds light on the dark so that we see exactly what was happening. And he shows us the way of escape. And the way of escape is always going to be him. And he will give us the direction, even in the physical, so that we can leave those physical bounds and so that our minds are set free by his spirit. He'll remove the chains and the shackles that were set up by lies and deception. And indiscretions and by seductions, those times when the enemy used the truth, a portion of the truth, to tell an entire lie, to bring us under captivity. He is the answer. So I want to now talk to you a little bit about the master gamer, the original gamer. Yeah, the one that started it all. And it starts in Genesis chapter 3. And if you don't mind, if you have your Bibles in front of you, if you could go to Genesis chapter 3, or you could just listen along with me, because I am going to read it and I believe I'm going to read it in its entirety. So I'm reading from Genesis chapter 3, from the New King James Version of the Bible. And it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field who the Lord God had made." And this is the New King James Version. I hope I said that already. "And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" You hear this? He says to the woman, did he really say that? Did he really say that you should not eat of any tree of the garden, of every tree in the garden? And this is what gamers do. They'll bring up the truth and they'll put a slant on it as to cause you to question what you knew was true. Eve knew it was true. She knew this was the truth. But he slanted it in her ears. He caused her to question that did not have a question mark. The Father made a statement. There was no question mark at the end of it. If anything, there was an exclamation mark. "You shall not eat of every tree in the garden." Not questioning, but this was a question that the serpent posed to Eve. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the garden, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die." See, now he put a question mark at the end of a sentence or a statement that actually was an exclamation. And now he is pulling it all the way apart. "You shall not surely die." So now he's lying. God said, "We shall die." The Father told us we shall die if we touch this. Yahuwah said we shall die if we eat of this tree. But the serpent is now saying to the woman, "You shall not surely die." So first he cast that doubt. He cast doubt. So now there's a shadow in the mist. He cast doubt. And now he's telling her, no, no, you won't die. You won't. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So the original gamer is the serpent. And this is what happens. He seduces the mind of the weakened mind, the unrecovered mind, the undelivered mind of a person, and causes them to be used even as he used the woman. He causes this person to be influenced by his spirit. And now we see the statement that the Creator made, that you shall not eat of every tree of the garden, is now a question in the mind of Eve. And we hear the serpent now saying, you shall not surely die. After she told him, this is what the Father told us, that we shall surely die if we eat of this tree. If we eat of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, we shall surely die. But he convinced her that it was not so. But not just that. Look at how he tempted her. When we entertain the thoughts of the gamer, when we entertain his thoughts, when those things we knew were truth becomes questions in our minds, when he twists that truth and causes and changes the truth into something that's not true at all. It's what we see in the earth right now. Right has become wrong and wrong has become right, because this same serpent that was twisting the truth in the garden is also twisting the truth in the earth and among human beings. And we have all been victimized by the twisting. We see what happened on that day. So now she's paying more attention to that tree, because before, I'm sure she just would skip past it, wouldn't even pay any attention to it, because this has nothing to do with me. The Father told me I can't eat of this tree, that this is not good for us. If we eat of it, we're going to die. So I'm staying away from that. I don't need to even bother with that. So she probably never even looked at it before. Not in the way she looked at it this day, because this day everything has been twisted in her mind. And I'm sure this took some time, because temptation is not usually in at all at once. Usually the enemy will take some time and gradually seduce us, gradually and insidiously bring us to the conclusion that, oh, that's not what I thought it was. When it is what you thought it was, because it is what the Father said. It's exactly what he said it was. But now the enemy has twisted it. He has tempted her. And now she's looking at the tree. And now the tree looks good for food. And now the tree is pleasant to her eyes. And now the tree is desirable to make one wise. So now, not only did that entertaining that thought become and it became a word. So it came to life. That entertainment came to life now. That's what happens when we're tempted. When we entertain the words of the gamer. When we entertain the words of the adversary. Because the words of the gamer are the words of the adversary. They are the words of the adversary. And when we entertain those thoughts, when we entertain those words, they take on a different form. That's why I said the truth becomes undiscernible, because the truth begins to take on another form because we entertain the lie. We entertain that thought that was suggested by the enemy. And that's what she did. And she and her husband, they did eat. And because they did, that's why we see the conditions in the earth that we do, because what the Father told them from the very beginning, it was absolutely true. And the moment that they ate, they were separated from the Father. And they began to see things that they did not see before. They didn't recognize that they were naked before Him. They didn't know they didn't have on clothes. It wasn't a necessary thing. In the garden, everything was innocent. They had everything that they had need of. They did not see the evil that was present. Eve did not realize the evil that was present in the serpent. She was having a conversation with one of the creation of the Father, not knowing that creation had been taken over by the adversary himself. What the adversary did was on the low, started his own little insurrection, even in the garden. He separated the first humans that God created, the ones He created to have reciprocal relationship with Him, the ones He created to give Him glory. He separated them from the Father, and He caused death for all of creation. But what the serpent did not know, what he did not recognize in his full of prideful self, is the Father had a plan. Because even from the beginning, he knew, the Father knew what would happen. I often question many times, and I believe I even did it on yesterday when I was looking at the state of the world and even praying about some things that have taken place, praying about the violence and the evil that is in the earth, and even repenting to the Father for the things that we have done as human beings, that repenting to Him for the dishonor and the disrespect and the disregard of His Spirit, repenting to Him from coming so far away from His standard of holiness, coming so far away from His voice and from obedience to His will. We did that. Oh my goodness. And yet He had a plan. And His plan is good. What we need to recognize even right now is that the enemy, his modus operandi is always going to be robbery. He has a threefold mission: to steal, kill, and to destroy. And just like he seduced Eve in the garden, he continues to seduce. He continues to play mind games. He continues to try to take us further and further away from the standard of holiness, further away from obedience, further away from our relationship with a loving Father. If you think your Father in the earth, and some of us have had the most magnificent fathers that have been there for us every step of the way, every time we've fallen, they have been there. Our heavenly Father, our Creator, is more than that. I mean, exponentially more than our natural fathers could ever be. That is our heavenly Father. And that is what the serpent, that is what the adversary, that relationship, that's the relationship that he's trying to separate us from. That's the game he's been playing with all of humanity. This is the mind game of the serpent. This is the mind game of the adversary, always stealing, always killing, always destroying. He tries to steal our hope. He tries to steal. He tries to kill us physically. He tries to kill our relationship, and always destructive in his bent. Even if he's offering something that looks as if it's glistening, there is sheer darkness behind his agenda. And he might allow us to go for just a little while and make us think that, oh my God, I have arrived. And then he'll lure the bomb on us, just like what happened to Eve in the garden. Oh my, my. But let's keep reading, because our Heavenly Father, glory to God in the highest, had a plan. And so I'm going to go down to verse 14. And it says, "So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field.'" And remember, the serpent was being used by the adversary. "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And you shall bruise your, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. God has a plan. He always has a plan. And his plan is good. His plan is to recover us. His plan is to save us, because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance, that all should come to teshuva, that all should return, that all should metanoia, that all should change their mind. Even in the midst of a gamer, you can change your mind. Even if their mind can't be changed, you can change your mind, because the healer is among you. So God had a plan, and he told the serpent that he would put enmity. Enmity is a hostility. Enmity is a hostile mind. He will put hostility between you and the woman, and between you and between your seed and the seed of the woman. There's a hostility between us and the adversary. That's why he wants to take us down, and he wants to take us out by any means necessary. That's why he captivates the gamer, so that the gamer will captivate us, because there's hostility there, and he wants to destroy us all. So he put a hostility between the adversary and between the seed, between the woman. He put a hostility between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. And that seed that he was speaking of, and I like how her seed is capitalized in my Bible. He said that seed shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So the seed of the woman will bring a fatal blow to the head of the adversary, but you shall bruise his heel. So yeah, you're going to hurt him, but he's going to arise again. And we know that seed of the woman is Yeshua. And he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So even in the midst of gamers, in the midst of those who play games, in the midst of those who play too much, in the midst of those who manipulate and control, there we have that seed that has already arisen, that seed who came down through 40 and two generations, who had like passions, even as we did. He came into the earth so that we might have life, so that we could again have a relationship with the Father, our Creator, so that we are restored to our place again. He came to undo that the serpent had done. And just like he came to undo the games that the serpent played against Adam and Eve, Yeshua is here to undo the games of the gamer, the one who plays the mind games. And all we have to do is come to him and recognize that he is the deliverer, that he is the healer. And yes, it's difficult, because now you hear the voice of the seducer. You hear the voice of the one that's manipulated. You hear the voice of the one who has controlled you in your ears. But hear the voice of Yeshua now. He came that we might have life. So whether it's been a big thing or a little thing, that game that's been played on you, some people it's been total tragedy for their lives, but there's recovery for you. If you just humble your heart today and call upon the name of Yeshua, there's life in his name. Demons tremble at the sound of his name. Just the sound of his name causes the adversary to tremble. There's power in that name. And he wants to give his life-giving power back to you. The power to stand up and be counted among his own. The power to be a kingdom citizen. The power to walk in his authority. He wants each and every one of us to take our power back. Because some of us have his spirit, and we've given our power to another. But today is the day that we come back, amen, into the presence of Yeshua, and we take back the power that was taken from us. And all we have to do is call upon his name. Return to Shuva, even as they said in the Hebrew. Return to the Father. Ask him to forgive you and to wash you of your sin. Forgive your captor. Forgive the one who played the games. They were victimized themselves, and they cannot escape. Amen. They cannot escape the reaping, because God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So even today, as we're coming back into the presence of Yeshua, asking him to reset us even right now, to help us to keep our eyes focused on him. Amen. His word lets us know that he would give us peace. As a matter of fact, we'd have perfect peace for those who keep their minds stayed on him. So that's a key. Keep your mind on him and not on the words that you've been spoken. Amen. We can turn those thoughts around by capturing even those thoughts, even right now, as you repent. Amen. For having turned your eyes away from him and even listening to the words of the one who played the games. If you were not one that turned away, if you were not one that cast down those imaginations and those unhealthy and those lying words of the enemy, if you were not one, amen, that did not, if you were one that entertained those thoughts and so much that you began to believe them, come back now. Amen. Because Yeshua has deliverance for you. He has a word for you today. He has revelation. And that first word is he loves you. Yeshua loves you with an everlasting love. And his love has no borders. It has no boundaries. It has no conditions. His love has no conditions whatsoever. He's going to love you whether you come or whether you don't. He's going to love you whether you remain with your captor or whether you come with him. He's still going to love you, but he wants you free, and freedom is only in him. Your captor has lied to you. That gamer has lied, and now it's time to be free. So let's just begin to call upon the name of Yeshua. Call upon his name and repent. Turn back to him. And then in the New Testament, repentance is metanoia. It means to change your mind. It means you're going to change your mind about the things you thought of him and about the things that you thought of yourself. You're going to change your mind about the things that the game player said to you, because those things were lies. And you're now going to believe the truth, and you're going to come to the truth bearer, the spirit of truth, for repair and restoration. Restoration is in him. So come to him now. Repent and bear your soul to him. Cry out to him. He has deliverance for you in this hour. Amen. Game players, beware. Yeshua is here to bring forth deliverance and to bring light. And he may perhaps even use you to bring forth deliverance into the earth, into those that have gone through the very same trauma and devastation that you have been through. Amen. He may use you to bring his light into the earth, because you, once you receive him and receive his deliverance, you become light because his spirit resides in you. Mind games. Mind games. But we have a deliverer. There is no game that the adversary can play that Yeshua cannot play better. There is no strength that the adversary has that Yeshua cannot stand stronger in your life and for you. Scripture says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs in and they are safe from the mind games and any other game that the adversary chooses to play. Amen. We have an advocate. We have an advocate in the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And once his Holy Spirit is in you, amen, you can do anything. Scripture says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So my prayer for you even right now is that you receive the strength of Yeshua. Receive his strength in your mind. I pray even now over your brain that those areas in your mind, that your brain that were rewired in the alternate path because of the games that have been played on you, I pray that they be rewired and reset so that you hear the voice of your deliverer, so you hear the voice of Yeshua even now and rest in the confidence that he has you and he will take care of your every need. God bless you. God keep you and God anoint you in the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen.